on the dribble, feeds Hayes for three in the lead. He hit it! Nigel Hayes gives the Badgers a one-point lead. 18.4 seconds left in overtime. Into the rhythm, dribbles, eyes the rim, free throw airborne. It's off the rim, no. Rebound Jacobson with one, poked away, and the Badgers win it. Wisconsin in overtime.
What if Northwestern wants to win today, they should probably avoid going to overtime against this Wisconsin team. 8-0 with this, that's the stat, right? 8-0 with this current senior class. That was Matt LePay Thursday night in Lincoln, Nebraska, as Wisconsin kind of won an ugly one there. A tough physical game, managed to pull it out in overtime. And Matt LePay joins us right now as the beat is on the road in Madison, Wisconsin. Adam Hoge, Mark Carman, and Dave Ennett here as well. It's kind of cool for me because I interned for you, Matt. Mm-hmm. In the 2007 football season, I think.
It was. 10 years. Coming up on 10 years.
Crazy.
Wow. And despite that, Dave, look at what Adam has done in his career. Despite being polluted by myself and Mike Lucas.
And myself,
right?
Too.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, because I graduated and I immediately interned for Dave Ennett.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so, Mark Carman, too, I guess.
So he's overcome those obstacles.
Look what you've done. Way to go, Adam.
Yeah. Anyway, it's great to have you here. And let's start a little bit with what happened Thursday night. I mean, this has kind of been, if you go back and watch Wisconsin in the last, month even, I mean, they've had to grind out some games because the shooting touch hasn't exactly been there.
The last four, especially, Adam, the game in Madison Square Garden against Rutgers, it was a brick fest until the final couple of minutes of regulation, and then they go into overtime, and they can't miss. The three overtime games this year have all been on the road, and their points per possession, it's like 1.5, 1.7. If they get to overtime, they can't miss. But the Rutgers game and then Thursday night at Nebraska, they couldn't make a shot for 37 minutes, and then they make a couple down a stretch, and then they get into overtime, and they catch a rhythm there. But they're defending well. They're getting to the foul line. But clearly, they all know that they're going to have to shoot it better because they're walking a tightrope right now.
Dave, I always see you and Matt commiserating before football games, before basketball games. So when perhaps a game with a little controversy in football happens and it goes the Cats' way, do you rub that into Matt a little bit and just say, you know, we earned that over the years? How does that go?
Never, never. No, and when has that ever happened? I can't recall it, Mark.
I don't know what I'm thinking of, actually.
It's a catch, for crying out loud.
Yes.
Even though it isn't. Really.
Yeah.
By rule, it's not.
Right.
So that's okay.
Right. I think we all walked out of Camp Randall that day sort of scratching our heads and wondering what we'd just seen.
Hey. I thought Pat Fitzgerald had the best line after the game. It was one of the television interviews. I think he said, what just happened between
yeah,
the catch,
right.
No catch, and then a false start that should have been called and wasn't and would have had a 10-second runoff, and Wisconsin never would have had a last play. It was kind of like, what? What just? Oh, I guess it was okay for him that day, though.
You know, we have seen some crazy things between these, more I think in football than in basketball. I mean, basketball seems like occasionally the Badgers have come into Welsh Ryan as they did last year and not played their best game, and the Cats have been able to get one and the game up here in 2014. But in football, there have been some games. I mean, I know you remember a game probably would have been the late 90s, a night game at Ryan Field where you had the kicker who had kicked a long field goal the week before to win a game, and right at the end of the game, it kicked like a 48-yard field goal to beat the Cats.
He did, yeah. Matt Davenport was
the
guy's name. Yeah, they needed a different long snapper because in the celebration in the last second field goal the week before, the long snapper dislocated his elbow, so they had to get a backup snapper, and it took about 5 seconds for the ball to get back to the holder. So we always, I know, guys, Dave and I, we kind of gripe to one another when Wisconsin and Northwestern don't meet, if they rotate off the schedule in football, because the games are, more often than not, have been really entertaining. If you don't have a dog in the fight, you're going to pay attention to it because you get a double overtime game in 2000. You've had a lot of crazy games between the two programs.
See, I always thought that it was just a Dave Ennett thing, the photographic memory seemingly of plays over the years, but you just busted it out there too. It's just like a play-by-play thing.
It's an illness, I think, that we have. It's like we'll bring up a lot of these little-known facts, and we wonder, like, why do we know that?
Listen, we called a 51-48 football game.
We
might not see that many points scored here today.
Yeah, that's 2005 you're thinking about, right?
Yeah, Tyrell Sutton.
Right there, Mark.
I was sitting in the stands I think it was John Stocko threw that interception late in the game, and It was Brett Bazinet who put up like 700 yards of passing for the Cats.
Tyrell Sutton, it was his freshman year, and he had a huge game.
See, Adam is equally ill, Mark. Now
yeah,
you
no, I just saw it.
Well, we're talking to two legends here who, I mean, know both of these programs. What I love about your time here in Wisconsin, Matt, is it kind of coincides with, like, right when Barry Alvarez got here, right? I mean, you were here, like, just before that?
Yeah, I saw the last 2 years of Don Morton's time here. And then, I got here in 88. And then Barry got here in January of 1990. So, yeah, I've been lucky. I've had a great seat to watch a program build from the ground floor. Yeah. And very similar with basketball, but especially with football, because nobody was going to the games, and now the tickets are a lot more difficult to come by.
Well, and I think we're going to have Jim Phillips, Northwestern's athletic director, in here a little bit later, and you know, we're going to be obviously talking about all the great facility upgrades that they're doing in Evanston with the football, and then just this week announcing the practice facilities for basketball, and Welsh Ryan Arena is going to be going under the changes, and it's going to be great for both of them. You've kind of seen all that happen here. I mean, this building that we're standing in right now, 1998, the Kohl Center, was really a result of all the success they had in football, right? The prior years to that, because when you got here in 88, I mean, this let's face it, the athletic department was kind of a mess.
It was a little more mom and pop, I think would be a charitable way of putting it. But this place was built because basketball was building.
Okay.
Dick Bennett got him into the tournament in 1997. Stu Jackson in 94. They were recruiting better. They were selling out regularly. And then they were able to, with Senator Herb Kohl, the late Ab Nicholas, donated millions for this. So you see the commitment, and you're clearly seeing that, Dave, at Northwestern right now, too, and it's exciting to watch.
Yeah, no question about that. And as a matter of fact, and Matt will remember this, the Wildcats played the first game in this building.
Okay.
And I mentioned 51-48, that football game. That game was 56-33.
Oh, my God.
Right? And I remember Kevin O'Neill coming on our post-game show afterwards and saying, well, all those people in their red shirts, they all got their nice new building. Good for them. Because I think he'd been teed up a couple of times in that game.
Yeah, he was not happy to be the Washington Generals that
day,
opening up the new building. And by the way, the Cats are the Generals no more. We all know that. But, yeah, Kevin would always speak his mind, as you know, better than most.
Oh, yeah.
What is your impression of what Chris Collins has been able to do as you kind of look at Northwestern from the outside?
Very. We were just talking before we went on the air, Dave and I. This team is legit. I mean, it's awful timing with Scotty Lindsey, and it's, you know, hopefully he'll be back very, very soon for this team. But this is, I don't think, from the outside looking in, Northwestern, this is not a smoke and mirrors thing. This is a legit good team.
Yeah.
Badgers found that out firsthand with McIntosh last year, with Brian McIntosh in the 28. He dropped on him, but with Vic Law and Derek Pardon and this whole group, this is a legitimate NCAA team right now. And I know there's a month to go, but it just looks like now and then with the facility upgrade going on, this is going to be a serious team to deal with for the foreseeable future. They're gonna not be a cute story here very soon. This is going to be a team that it's not going to be a get-well game for anybody.
Yeah, that's a great point, because it has been now everybody's kind of jumped on this year. Well, wouldn't it be great if this is finally the year Northwestern makes the tournament? And that's the question. And these guys get – I mean, I think they understand it, but I made this comment to a reporter a couple of weeks ago that Chris Collins, since the day he took the job, that's all he's been asked. When are you going to make the tournament? And it's all Bill Carmody was asked for 13 years, and Kevin O'Neill before him. And this is clearly their best opportunity over that time. But they want to get to the point where it's not the exception to the rule. And this isn't some big story that Northwestern's contending for a spot in the NCAA tournament.
And Wisconsin went through a very similar thing when Stu Jackson got him in 94. That was a 47-year gap, football going to and winning bowl games. And Barry Alvarez then said, look, we don't want this to be the one-hit wonder. And I think what's so encouraging for Northwestern is that the coach there kind of knows the drill of being in postseason play a lot. And I think that can go a long way. And with the leadership that it looks like the Cats have right now, these younger guys are going to learn a lot. And they're not like they're going to expect to go in, but they're going to know what it takes to get there. And then you build on that, and they'll be a hard team to beat.
I mean, it's interesting thing about the history, because I remember as a kid, Northwestern football, that you were hoping for 1, 2, 3 wins a year. And Wisconsin was one of the games you could get. I mean, I'm sure you remember that, Dave, as a student, right? When Wisconsin would come in, that's like, oh, my God, we could get one today.
I think first Big Ten win I ever called was against the Badgers, right. And it was thanks to a fake field goal for a touchdown right before halftime on a homecoming. Right. But, you know, there were a lot of games like that back then. By the way, that was Bob Christian. Matt Jurwo was the holder on the field goal. They threw to Bob Christian for the touchdown. But
that's very impressive. I'm very concerned.
Yeah, you well should be. I think one of the things a couple of weeks ago when the noise was getting really, really loud, Chris was the one who stepped up and said, look, we have 6 weeks to go, whatever it is. We have a lot still to be done, a lot of work to do. And you've got to be careful here because last year they got off to a 3-2 start of the Big Ten, then lost for 4 or 5 in a row. Right now they've dropped 2 in a row. They can't get into a long losing streak because that can really change the selection committee's opinion of you pretty quickly.
That's one of the things that we learned firsthand around here in 2000 when Dick Bennett, that team went on to the Final Four. The third week of February, their overall record was like 13-12 or 14-13. It had all the makings of an NIT team. Then it got hot. So that's kind of the flip of what the worst case scenario would be for Northwestern right now. I know they had the top 4 seeds in the regions yesterday and all of that. It's a great marketing tool. It gets people talking, but it could change so dramatically between now and March 12th. But it gets people talking. But to your point, you're right. I mean, things could flip the wrong way for Northwestern, could flip the wrong way for Wisconsin, but we've seen it where a team that looks like Joe Average all of a sudden gets hot and makes a deep run.
TV is TV and nothing's changing, and, you know, this is a NBA-level arena that we're in right now. I'm just curious your opinion, Matt and Dave, on Rutgers, Maryland, being in the Big Ten. You just talked about how you guys get bumped off the schedule. Those are the reasons why. I mean, I don't know how you look at it. I think Nebraska, to me, like, just sort of fit, but those two didn't.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm still, because I'm older, a lot older than you, Mark, and Adam, it's probably...
That's how he left me out.
I thought, you look a lot younger than I do, Dave. So it's probably harder for maybe Dave and I to wrap our arms around it. Like, okay, Rutgers and Maryland. You could see Maryland with basketball. Rutgers still trying to figure it out. We get it. With television and the footprint and all of that, but maybe for a college-age kid now, it's not that big a deal. And in time, we'll get used to that concept. But it's tough for me because I'm used to the Big Ten actually having 10 teams. But now that's a very old news.
Yeah, it is. You know what? When Nebraska came in, I thought that seems like an odd fit. And the talk, remember, had been that Missouri was going to be the 12th team coming in. And I was kind of excited because my kids were at Missouri at the time. And I said, that's great. I'll get to see them a couple extra times a year. But, you know, I think Nebraska's been a great fit. I think that's been a tremendous addition to the conference. And what I'm hoping is... And clearly it was done for TV. I think Maryland's going to be fine. I think the jury's going to be out on Rutgers for a while to see how they fit into this conference. But I don't mind the trip out east, you know, and I think having the New York market exposure, I think the tournament, what is it, next year
in New York City.
Yeah. This year in D.C., I think is going to be fun.
Yeah, I hate that. Well.
But I love, don't get me wrong. I love when it's at the United Center and I have to drive 10 minutes.
I get why they're doing it, but the whole Big Ten tournament's not, I mean, it was one thing when it went to Indy. Now we're, you know, most fans of the Big Ten are not going to be able to be there.
I agree. It's going to be a long drive, or you're going to pay a lot of money for a flight to get to D.C. or to New York. But I think we've all been around this industry long enough to understand why they're doing it. And it's also, let's don't ignore Penn State here, because I think that school, as the easternmost Big Ten team prior to all of this, you needed a couple of partners out there, and that was no small factor.
And it's also the hardest place to get to still.
Yes, it is.
I know you got pregame duties to get to. I do want to ask you real quick, though. You brought up the game last year in Evanston and Brian McIntosh going off. I remember going on our halftime show with this guy, and basically saying at that point, look, Northwestern's a better team than Wisconsin. Because that was kind of the turnaround point for Wisconsin when things started really getting going under Greg Gard. How is this program changed at all under Greg compared to Bo Ryan? Or is it? I mean, because on the surface, if you just watch a game, a lot of it looks the same.
It is. And to your first point there, you were right. Northwestern was a better team at that time. Wisconsin, after that loss, was 1-4 in the Big Ten. And then they – they went back. The players started to understand the concepts of the swing offense, which for Badger fans was old hat. For the players last year, it was a new thing. They hadn't run that for a while. So they got used to Greg's way of doing things, and then they all really started to understand their roles, and then everything fell into place. So you might see a substitution pattern a little bit different with Greg. He'll chew on the officials' ears a lot less than Bo. Yeah. But by and large, big picture, their principles are very much the same, and why wouldn't they be? Because Greg worked with him for so many years.
Do you think Bo Ryan will ever coach again?
I never rule it out. I never rule it out. He's 69 years old. I talked to him about a month ago. He's enjoying playing golf. He watches a lot of basketball. But I guess at this point now, nothing would shock me.
By the way, the first guy out here in every game.
I was going to ask you.
And the team isn't here yet. But who's the first guy out there shooting for Northwestern?
Brian McIntosh has been out there. I was going to ask you that, Dave, because you're obviously at every single game on the road. He's out there. This is just a little lesson for as I channel my inner Steve Stone, for all you youngsters out there. He's shooting two-footers, one after another, then five-footers, then ten-footers, and just working on real basic stuff and getting a huge sweat going on right now. I mean, that's what it takes, right?
We see this every game. Armand Gates, assistant coach, comes over with him early, and he works on this and this part of his game. And, you know, his percentages have been down a little bit, but lately they've been coming up. He's been scoring more, and he's been kind of on a hot streak.
So he scored 28 against these guys last year. He ran over here from the hotel. He just wants to play him again.
It's a short run.
I bet, yeah. Matt LePay, thanks so much for joining us.
Good to see you.
Take
care.
As always, a lot of fun.